Imagine a world where all of Shakespeare, Plato, and Homer disappeared forever. This nearly happened during Europe's darkest hour, as Rome crumbled and barbarians swept across the continent, burning libraries and destroying the accumulated wisdom of centuries. The unlikely heroes who prevented this catastrophe? The Irish, a people considered barbarians themselves. While we readily acknowledge Greeks and Romans as civilization's pillars, this small, rain-soaked island at Europe's edge performed what might be history's greatest rescue mission. When chaos consumed the continent, Irish monks preserved the intellectual treasures that would eventually fuel the Renaissance and shape our modern world. What makes this story so remarkable is that Ireland had never been part of the Roman Empire. These supposed savages, whose warriors once stripped naked before battle and howled like demons, became the unexpected guardians of Western civilization. As Thomas Cahill reveals, without their extraordinary efforts, we might have lost the literary heritage of Greece and Rome completely, altering the course of human development in ways we can scarcely imagine. Rome's collapse seemed unthinkable after 11 centuries of dominance, yet the empire died gradually, with citizens barely noticing the transformation. Late empire poetry reveals the decline, classical sequences devoid of genuine emotion. Society prized conformity above all, with peer admiration as the highest virtue. Though nominally Christian, the culture remained essentially pagan, filled with men performing meaningless duties. The tax system exposed terminal dysfunction. Tax collectors, curiales, had to cover shortfalls from personal resources, often becoming serfs. Great landowners consumed smaller ones, shrinking the tax base and eliminating the middle class. The army filled with barbarian mercenaries as republican resolve decayed. Despite these warning signs, Romans remained blind to their empire's instability. When Visigoth King Alaric appeared at Rome's gates in 410 CE, envoys threatened him with invincible strength. His reply? The thicker the grass, the more easily scythed. In that moment, Roman security died and a new world was conceived. While Rome collapsed, a distant island beyond the empire's reach existed with a different world revealed through remarkable literature like the Tan Bo Colaigne, the cattle raid of Cooley. The Irish were Celts who entered Western consciousness around 600 BCE, reaching Ireland by 350 BCE. Dominated by Iberian Celts with a distinct language from British invaders, they became the Irish, speaking what survives today as Irish and Scots Gaelic. This illiterate, aristocratic, semi-nomadic Iron Age warrior culture derived wealth from animal husbandry and slavery. Warriors fought naked except for sandals and golden torques, experiencing the warp spasm, a monstrous transformation when facing enemies. Unlike classical epics, Irish literature features powerful female characters. Queen Meb dominates the Tan narrative, as does no other woman in any epic we have left to us. These stories display unusual sexual frankness, with both genders openly admiring physical attractions and casually propositioning each other. Around 400 CE, Roman-British teenager Patricius was kidnapped by Irish raiders and enslaved as a shepherd. Isolated in the hills, this previously irreligious boy turned to fervent prayer, often praying 100 times during daylight hours and nearly as many after dark. After 6 years, he escaped, became a bishop, and remarkably returned to the land of his captivity. Patrick became history's first clear voice against slavery, a position unmatched until the 17th century. While Augustine developed Christianity's darker sin theory, Patrick embodied its bright side, believing slave traders could become liberators and barbarians could achieve salvation. The Celtic pantheon featured fearsome deities like Nemain and Bab, war goddesses who could kill hundreds with a single cry. Patrick offered a radical alternative, a world still magical but governed by a loving God. where the Irish saw hidden traps, Patrick presented creation as charged with the grandeur of God, a divine mystery with sacred messages at every turn. Unlike continental monks, the Irish embraced all literature without concern for orthodoxy. After mastering Christian texts, they eagerly consumed pagan Greek and Latin classics that conventional churchmen avoided. This intellectual openness shocked some, like Aldhelm of Malmesbury, who warned against the polluted lewdness of classical tales. But the Irish rejected self-censorship, believing, "I am a human being, so nothing human is strange to me." Manuscript margins reveal scribes' personal thoughts, love poems, complaints about their work, and charming verses like, "I and Pangur Ban my cat, 'tis a like task we are at. Hunting mice is his delight, hunting words I sit all night." These weren't mere copyists, but active participants in a vibrant intellectual tradition. The Irish elevated literacy to art, developing distinctive scripts and magnificent illuminated works like the Book of Kells. Their initial capitals rivet one's eyes to the page, drawing inspiration from prehistoric megalithic art with its spirals and patterns. Their aesthetic embodied balance in imbalance, mathematically precise yet deliberately off-center, creating endlessly fascinating designs. While Roman civilization collapsed under barbarian invasions, isolated Ireland continued furiously copying manuscripts. Irish monks, embarking on white martyrdom, voluntary exile for Christ, sparked Europe's transformation. Columbkilleh established monasteries throughout Scotland. Brendan the Navigator explored Iceland, Greenland, and possibly North America. Many monks traveled to continental Europe with precious books tied to their waists. Columbanus founded monasteries in Gaul and Italy that evolved into major European cities like Luxeuil, Salzburg, and Vienna. These white martyrs re-established literacy across Europe. By 870, Herrick of Auxerre observed, "Almost all of Ireland, despising the sea, is migrating to our shores with a herd of philosophers." These warrior monks revitalized Europe's depleted literary culture. The period featured collaboration between Irish and English monks. Saxon monasteries learned scribal arts from Irish monks, producing masterpieces like the Lindisfarne Gospels, Irish in spirit, though created by an Englishman. John Scotus Erugena emerged as the first true philosopher since Augustine and Boethius, and one of only two men in Western Europe fluent in Greek. Viking attacks ended Ireland's cultural leadership in Europe, though they established Ireland's first cities, Dublin, Limerick, Cork, Waterford. Norse raiders destroyed countless books, plundering jeweled covers and leaving manuscripts to ruin. Monasteries built round towers for protection, but these proved inadequate. Yet the Irish legacy endured. Without these monks, the literary heritage of Greece and Rome might have vanished. They preserved religious texts alongside secular classics, poetry, history, and philosophy, the intellectual foundation of Western civilization. Their distinctive approach to learning, playful, curious, and inclusive, influenced European thought for centuries. Even at their lowest point, the Irish kept hope alive. In 1843, just before the Great Famine, a German traveler discovered a Kerry farmer reading an ancient manuscript of Irish poems and histories, a remarkable survival of an Irish codex in common hands. This story reminds us that civilization's treasures often survive through unexpected guardians. The Irish monks demonstrate that even in history's darkest hours, small acts of preservation can echo through centuries, keeping humanity's flame burning when it seems most likely to extinguish.